speak, oh Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let the truth prevail over
Good morning. For those of you who do not know me, I am Rhonda Hamby, and I will be your deacon of for the month of June, reading the scripture. And today we're reading from Exodus 19, 1 through 6. And it's on the screen behind me and on page 64 in your pew Bibles. On the third new moon, after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites. May God add his blessing to this, his holy word.
Max Lucado is one of the most prolific authors of our time. He's written books that have sold some 92 million copies and counting. He continues to serve as minister of preaching at the Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas. And in a recent book published in 2013 titled, You'll Get Through This, with the subtitle, Hope and Help for Your Turbulent Times, Max begins with several stories about people he had met who are going through tough times. Let me read a couple of those stories for you. She had a tremble to her, the inner tremble you could feel with just a hand on her shoulder. I saw her in a grocery store, had not seen her in some months. I asked about her kids and husband. And when I did, her eyes watered, her chin quivered, and the story spilled out. He'd left her. After 20 years of marriage, 3 kids, and a dozen moves, gone. Traded her in for a younger model. She did her best to compose herself, but she couldn't. The grocery store produce section became a sanctuary of sorts. Right there between the tomatoes and the heads of lettuce, she wept. We prayed. Then I said, "You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick, but God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you will get through this." 2 days later, a friend called. He'd just been fired. The dismissal was his fault. He'd made stupid, inappropriate remarks at work, crude, offensive statements. His boss kicked him out. Now he's a 57-year-old unemployed manager in a rotten economy. He feels terrible and sounds worse. Wife angry, kids confused. He needed assurance, so I gave it. "You'll get through this. It won't be painless, it won't be quick, but God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you will get through this." Then there's the teenager I met at the cafe where she works. She's fresh out of high school, hoping to get into college next month. Her life, as it turns out, hasn't been easy. When she was 6 years old, her parents divorced. When she was 15, they remarried, only to divorce again a few months ago. Recently, her parents told her to choose, live with mom or live with dad. She got misty-eyed as she described their announcement. I didn't have a chance to tell her this, but if I see her again, you can bet your sweet September, I'm going to look her square in the eyes and say, "You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you will get through this." Audacious of me, right? How dare I say such words? Where did I get the nerve to speak such a promise into tragedy? Well, you're going to have to read Max's book if you want his answer. But our scripture for today provides an answer to that question of how we dare to speak hope in the midst of tragedy. And the answer is found in the nature and the promises of God. You recall the story? The children of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, had migrated to Egypt to escape famine in Canaan. Their kinsman Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brother. But by God's power, Joseph had triumphed over tragedy, and after his release from prison, he had been made second in command in all of Egypt. And so as long as Joseph lived, life was good for the children of Israel. But after he was gone, a Pharaoh arose in Egypt who did not remember Joseph. And the Israelites became slaves, and their life in Egypt was no longer good. They were held in bitter bondage for 400 years. But then God called one of their own, Moses, a child of Israel who'd been raised by an Egyptian princess. And God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of bondage into freedom. For 40 years under Moses' leadership, they wandered in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And along the way, God used those years of wilderness wandering to teach the former slaves what it meant to be a chosen people. As the Israelites camped at the base of Mount Sinai, the Lord called to Moses from the mountain. And God told Moses what to say to those people who had escaped from the bondage of Egypt, but who had not yet reached the promised land. They were apprehensive and fearful about what the future might bring. And God said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession of all the peoples." It was a message of help and hope for turbulent times. Now, most of us go through turbulent times. Just about everyone will experience some major traumatic event, maybe more than one, an event that threatens to turn our lives upside down. Things like the untimely loss of a loved one, a financial downturn, the end of a relationship, a health crisis, some other tragic circumstance that makes us wonder how it's possible to go on. And it's not just traumatic events that upset us. It's those smaller everyday stressors that take their toll. Stress is a risk factor for most of our modern ills like heart disease, high blood pressure, hypertension, many more. Most of us get stressed more than we realize. And how we cope with those everyday stressors and how we cope with those major traumatic events of life impacts the quality and the longevity of our lives. Studies on human resilience have found that it is possible not just to endure, but to thrive even in the aftermath of adversity. It's not just a matter of having a positive attitude, although a positive outlook is certainly a help. It's also a matter of learning to let go of negative emotions and finding ways to cope when things don't go your way. Scientists have discovered that social support is a huge factor in coping with adversity. They did a study where research subjects were exposed to stressors in a lab, and the researchers found that the heart rate and the blood pressure of the study subjects did not go up as much if they had a friend with them in the lab as they did if they were there by themselves. A strong network of social support can make us stronger than we are by ourselves. Simply put, we need other people. Dr. Stephen Southwick of the Yale School of Medicine says, "Very few highly resilient people are strong in and of themselves. You need support." That's what the Israelites discovered. They were stronger in community than they were as individuals. And that's what we in the church have discovered, that we can bear the stresses of life better together than we can alone. When we share our concerns, when we pray together, when we pray for each other, the burdens of life are not as hard to bear. Researchers have also learned that a strong belief system helps us to be resilient in the face of adversity. Trust in God can make a huge difference in how we face the adversities of life. That's why God told Moses to remind the Israelites of what he had done. He had freed them from bondage in Egypt, and he had carried them on eagle's wings to bring them to himself. There was a poignant picture on the front page of the Washington Post on Friday of the Biden family. No doubt you've heard that the vice president lost his 46-year-old son to cancer. And tragically, this was not the first traumatic event that Joe Biden has suffered. 40 years ago, his wife and infant daughter were killed in an automobile accident. Then a newly elected senator, he commuted daily by Amtrak between Washington, D.C. and Delaware to be home with his sons. Now his son, Beau, has died. And one might wonder, how is the vice president able to go on? Well, it's only by his faith in God and the support of his family and friends that he is able to endure. I don't know exactly where you are on your life journey right now. Maybe you feel like you are in bondage in Egypt, struggling against some adversity that won't let you go. Or maybe you feel like you're wandering in the wilderness, not really sure what the future may hold. Or maybe you're in the promised land right now, but you realize that life will not always be that way. Wherever you are, remember what the Lord has done for you. If you place your trust in Him when tough times come, He will bear you on eagle's wings and bring you to Himself. As Max Lucado said, you'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. How do we know that's true? Well, we remember what God has done for us. Today on this table are emblems that help us remember. Every time we eat the bread, every time we drink the cup, we remember what Jesus has done for us. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these sacred emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking Him to receive from His table in the assurance that He who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as His own. Our closing hymn is based upon two passages of Scripture. The passage from Exodus that we read earlier in the service, and Psalm 91. I'd like you to listen to the psalm, and I think you'll get more meaning out of that closing hymn we'll sing. Psalm 91 says, "You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will not tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them with long life. I will satisfy them and show them my salvation." This is God's invitation to us to receive his love and salvation through our faith in Jesus Christ. If you've not made that public commitment of your life to Christ, maybe you do that today. We'll be having the service of believers' baptism next Sunday, and you could be a part of that. Or maybe you've made that commitment, but you're not a part of this church family. You want to unite with us. We'd welcome that decision as well. Invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing hymn number 51, On Eagle's Wings.